From NPR News, this is Weekend Edition. I'm Robert Smith. This week, the Senate will turn its attention to the annual Defense Department Authorization Bill, and there should be plenty of fireworks in Washington, D.C. The bill is thick with amendments. All of them will be fodder for arguments from both sides of the aisle. Joining us to look to next week is Doyle McManus, Washington Bureau Chief for the Los Angeles Times. Great to meet you, Doyle.
Good to be here, Robert.
First, let's take a look at the weekly Republican defections from the president. The big one last week was Pete Domenici, but yesterday, Lamar Alexander and Judd Gregg expressed doubts about the current policy. How is this going to affect the Senate debate next week?
Well, it's going to affect it in a couple of ways. Susan Collins, a Republican from Maine, said this was like a dike bursting, that there is a lot of pent-up Republican frustration with this war, and more may be to come. And I think that's the big story of the week, that the White House's problem is no longer the Democrats who want to impose a timetable or stop American combat operations in Iraq. It's those Republicans who bit by bit are moving away from the president's policy and deciding that his surge, his increase in troop strength in Iraq, just isn't working. Republican congressional aides tell us that there are now 60 votes in the Senate, the number you need to go ahead and move a bill, to do something that declares that there needs to be a change in policy. The question is going to be exactly what and how hard is it?
Well, frustration really is the byword in Washington, D.C., and the administration is clearly worried about political pressure to end the surge. Last week, we saw Major General Rick Lynch, a commander of coalition forces in central Iraq, jumping into the political fray and making this defense of the surge, saying withdrawal is going to lead to a bloody mess. Were you surprised by that kind of politics from the military?
Well, to be fair to General Lynch, he was answering a question from a reporter. He didn't jump up on the table and say, here's a message that I've got to give you. And it is a message that we've heard from other generals. We've heard it from General Ray Odierno, who's the overall ground commander in Iraq, who has said, in his view, the surge has to continue well into next year. We've heard it in a more muted and subtle way, if you like, from General David Petraeus, the head of the whole American enterprise in the Middle East. Part of what's going on here is that those officers really do believe these things, but the other part is that the administration needs credible spokesmen, and its political spokesmen have run out of gas a little bit. They need to roll out generals if they're going to move Republican sentiment on this issue.
Let's turn back to Congress. What can they do at this point about the war? What are the real options?
Well, that's a terrific question. What you're going to see next week, as you mentioned, is a whole raft of different ways of saying the surge isn't working. It's time to move to a new policy. It's time to pull American troops out of direct combat in the streets of Baghdad and elsewhere. A lot of these amendments or versions are going to say it's time to embrace something like the commission under former Secretary of State James Baker, former Congressman Lee Hamilton, and that is to move toward an advisory role. But the big question is there going to be a timetable? Is there going to be anything that will force the administration to change course? So far, Republicans are basically out there waving semaphore flags at the White House saying, please change course. And President Bush is saying, not yet. I'm not ready. As far as I can tell, there still is not a veto-proof majority to force a timetable. Some Republicans are ready to go there, but not most of them. And White House officials are fairly frank in saying that their ace in the hole is the president can resist, the president can veto, the president doesn't have to follow anything that's not binding. So, bottom line, my best guess is we will have, at the end of an enormous, contentious, fireworks-strewn 2-week debate, a resolution from the Senate directing the administration to change course, laying down no fixed timetable, and the administration, at least in the short run, won't want to change course.
Well, it's going to be such a great show that the 4 Senate Democrats running for president are going to tear themselves away from Iowa and come back to the Senate floor. How vocal do you expect them to be during the debate?
Oh, very vocal. Yeah. Actually, you know, there are two kinds of senators, those who are running for president and those who might someday want to run for president. I think you can almost expect all 100 of them. But, yeah, in this case, Hillary Clinton, Senator Clinton, has an amendment that she is sponsoring. Senator Barack Obama wants to get on television and remind people that he was against the war from the start. Senator Joe Biden, who's running for president, is chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee and has been very active in putting forward proposals on Iraq. And Senator Chris Dodd, a dark horse candidate, has his own withdrawal amendment. So we are going to see a parade of presidents, future presidents, past presidents, wannabe presidents, every kind of president.
Well, speaking of the presidential parade in Iowa this week, Hillary Clinton brought out her secret weapon. And judging from the press coverage, Bill Clinton might have overshadowed her there. Do you think this was an effective move for her?
Well, did he or didn't he overshadow her? This was the fodder for political reporters. Bill Clinton, who holds the land record for length of State of the Union speeches, held himself to 8 minutes. This was extraordinary restraint by the former president. I think it was a good move in this sense. Number one, Hillary Clinton's campaign is trying to draw on nostalgia among Democrats for what some still see as the good old days of the Clinton administration. And number two, President Clinton is too big to hide.
Exactly right. Fred Thompson, the Republican not-quite candidate, was thrown a curve last week, in fact, by your newspaper, the L.A. Times. They reported that Thompson lobbied first President Bush on behalf of a family planning group trying to persuade the president to relax an abortion restriction. He's now, of course, campaigning on an anti-abortion platform. How does this affect his role as a sort of conservative dream candidate?
Well, it does affect it in that he now has previous positions to explain. He was a moderate on abortion when he ran for the Senate in 1994. You know, it's a gift to Mitt Romney, who's had to explain some changes in his position, too.
Doyle McManus is the Washington bureau chief for the Los Angeles Times. Thanks, Doyle.
Thank you, Robert.